Hurry into Menards right now and save big money. Miracle-Gro raised bed soil helps you grow bigger, more bountiful plants. It provides the right foundation your plants need to thrive with a 100% organic formula that requires no mixing. Add Miracle-Gro raised bed soil to help your plants grow with organic nutrients you can count on. Visit our garden center or check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, throwback on Coast to Coast. Let's bring in Mafia Brian Ciano to talk about the mess that has become of UFC 279 in Vegas at the T-Mobile on Saturday night. I have to ask you right off the bat, because of these chaotic things that have happened. First of all, the press conference fighting backstage chaos, they canceled that. Then today, this guy, Chimaev, comes out and misses weight by almost 8 pounds. Guy's laughing on the scale like it's a joke, like he thinks it's a joke. Then they talk about changing the card and all of the fights. Are they going to give this fight free on pay-per-view, no charge tomorrow, since they've ruined the entire event? It's not worth paying for.
Of course not.
It's not worth paying for.
Scott, let's be honest, Scott. If you're going to be really honest, it wasn't worth paying for beforehand, because the top two fights on this card previously were like, why is this fight happening? You had Nate Diaz versus Chimaev. Chimaev, who's on the rise, who's, you know, potential title shot, just beat Gilbert Burns, who was a recent title contender, against Nate Diaz, who hasn't won in the last couple of years, who's, you know, getting big fights, beat down the name. And then after that, you had Tony Ferguson in his fight against Zhang. Well, Jelang gets knockouts. Tony Ferguson's lost four fights in a row and has been getting knocked out. So both these fights beforehand were, why is this even happening at the top of this UFC card? The best fight was the third one to begin with Holland and Rodriguez. Now all of a sudden you have all this mishmash. Like you said, you had the whole thing with the press conference yesterday where Dana comes out, cancels the press conference, and then a lot of it was apparently between Chimaev and Holland. There was beef there, but then it settled down. And then, of course, who comes into the mix? Nate Diaz, and things get riled up, and water bottles are thrown, just like things were thrown back with the press conference with Conor McGregor. So the Diaz is stirring stuff up again, and then, you know, that's canceled. Then we have this weight miss with Chimaev, allegedly because of some kind of medical issue he had during training camp. He wasn't able to cut weight so well. Misses it completely, and now we're getting a complete shuffling. Word is out there that, you know, allegedly what the UFC wants to do now is put Tony Ferguson versus Nate Diaz, which in my opinion would be a better fight for both those guys, because at least one of them has to win. Then maybe Chimaev versus Kevin Holland, these guys who had the beef yesterday and have had beef previously. And then Li Jialang versus Rodriguez, since all these three fights were around the same weight with guys missing by a little bit here or there. It's just whether or not the fighters agreed to it. And then I'm even seeing reports, Ariel Helwani saying that, you know, because there was a post by Dustin Poirier where you saw him on a scale at 176. Apparently, Poirier was reached out to as a possible replacement for this card, had a pilot and a plane on standby to fly to Vegas, but nothing has been confirmed with that yet. He hasn't left, so that hasn't happened yet. So who knows what's going on? We're all waiting for the UFC to announce what's happening with this card and why they're still going to make us pay for it.
Would you so it would be Diaz and the Diamond Poirier? Is that the fight that they're trying to put together?
That's what the talk is, that they want to put that together. And the talk was that they want that as the main event, both these guys getting, you know, significant pay bump for this. But, you know, we saw Kevin Holland put out on social media that he wants to fight with Chimaev, but he wants it as a 5-round main event. Otherwise, he's not taking it. And that makes more sense. Honestly, both those guys are in a much better position in that division, in their divisions and in their careers. And right now, Diaz and Ferguson are. So it would make sense to put that as the 5-rounder. But, you know, Nate Diaz and his ego isn't going to let that happen. So who knows where we go from here with all, you know, all the massaging of egos and stuff. If the UFC can throw a couple extra bones at some of these guys to get them to drop down to, you know, not the main event, but the co-main or things like that, just to make this happen, because there's a lot of drama, you know, over the next 24 hours of trying to make this thing go.
Well, there's been such bad blood between, frankly, Dana White and Nate Diaz and Nick Diaz and the UFC that I actually believe. And by the way, we welcome all of our radio affiliates, SiriusXM, Channel 159, Sports Map, Sports Byline. But there's been such bad blood between them that he's been clamoring to get out of his contract. Why in God's name would Dana make him the main event and give him all this money when Chimaev is younger. Holland and Chimaev fought backstage. They hate each other's guts. That's the main draw. Anything with Diaz, to me, is secondary. Because weren't you all over Chimaev to beat Diaz's ass anyway?
Oh, absolutely. I was all over with Chimaev, and I was all over Jean Lang to beat down Ferguson. Like I said, it's a much better idea to put those two together because then one of them has to win just by, or actually, I guess you could technically get a draw, but still, that's a win for either of those guys at this point. And, you know, the reason that they won't put, that they put Diaz at the top and why they probably wouldn't keep him at the top is because money. As, you know, bad as he's been recently, as how many times we've had him off for multiple years before coming back to fight again, is that people still buy that mystique, that anger, that, you know, the smack talk of the Diaz's, and they'll still pay for it if he's at the top, even though it's a fight he didn't deserve at all. I mean, and a fight he really didn't want. That's the questionable part, too, is that, you know, he came into this fight week saying he didn't want the Chimaev fight to begin with, claimed that he didn't even really train for it. So that made it even more so, you know, thinking that this guy's going to get a beatdown. Is he going to stick around and say if he's got this opportunity to back out? Probably, because, like you said, he has that one fight left on his UFC deal and is tired of them. So if he gets that fight, then he can go be a free agent and go get money elsewhere. So I think he'll stick in there against somebody. Just all the details got to be ironed out to make it work.
Do you think he'll fight Ferguson and beat him? Because I don't think he can beat Poirier.
He definitely can't beat Poirier. Neither of those guys can beat Poirier. They'll both get smashed by them. I think he can beat Ferguson. I think right now Ferguson, his jaw is a little questionable to me. He's, you know, always been a great stand-up fighter. But against a guy like Diaz, the brawler, he might be able to take him out. And if not, you know, it could end up on the mat where I think obviously he'll hold the advantage even though he never uses that.
Is this the worst bloodletting event they've ever had that got literally destroyed in less than 12 hours?
Second to worst, because don't forget, there was that one card. I think it was Henderson versus, you know, John Jones, where Hendo had to drop out. They tried to put Chael Sonnen in there, and John Jones says, no, I'm not doing it, and they had to cancel the whole card.
Wow, I guess you're right. This is crazy what's going on. Hopefully we'll find something out before the end of the show tonight. Great job, Mafia. Thanks. We'll see what happens with this card in Vegas tomorrow night. Sounds like a mess.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to talk about it with Mafia, but allegedly, because I haven't heard anything about this, that Joshua has accepted a fight with Fury. And I got to tell you, that's according to his promoter. You know, he's going to get his ass beat. I mean, yeah, that guy can't beat anybody. And he literally is. Usyk beat him twice. When are people going to get off of this English guy that can't beat it? He couldn't beat his own brother up. I mean, honestly, like, he sucks. Fury will kill him. I mean,
that's
honestly,
a bad idea.
It's just a bad fight. Joshua.
But it's always the bad fight. You never get the fight you want. Remember years ago when Wilder and Joshua were both undefeated and everybody was dying for the two of them to fight each other? That got ruined. They both lost a whole bunch of fights. Nobody
would care
at all.
Those three fights were good, though, with Wilder. We haven't had anything that good since.
Wilder Fury was very good. Those three fights, having that trilogy, yes. But I mean, Fury would destroy Anthony Joshua. That would be a total waste of time.
I think Wilder got messed up by Fury. I think it hurt his career longevity. I don't think he's the same guy that he was after those three beatings.
I think he hurt him mentally in the first fight, hurt him physically in the second fight. And he hasn't been the same, because I think Wilder still to this day can't believe that Fury got up in those knockdowns in that first fight.
I can't either. I was there. I can't either.
He still can't believe that.
I made my flight that night. Yeah. I did 100 miles an hour. I made it to the airplane.
Fury, Mafia is telling me, wanted to fight Usyk, but Usyk doesn't want to fight again until next year, and Fury wanted to fight again this year. So Usyk... what's he? Look, it's hard for me to say.
He'll kill either one of them.
I know that.
He'll kill them both.
He'll beat.
He can beat them both on the same night.
Waste of time.
At the same time, one of those, you know, WWE where in the cage where they all are in there.
And the best part is like, he's crazy enough to try it too. Like, if you presented him with that idea, he'd be like, I take them both down in the same night. Bring them to me.
Right.
I'll fight them both. He's nuts. Let's go. We got to get a lot of stuff in here.
Right,
college football, Saturday. Tennessee and Pitt. Pitt squeaking by in the backyard brawl, Scotty, against West Virginia. Now get Hendon Hooker and the Volunteers coming into the place where the Steelers play. -6 for the Vols as the road favorite.
I stand by what I said. Now, I lost that game by a hook with Pitt. It was devastating. I don't think they should have won that game against West Virginia. They got pushed around. I think Tennessee comes into Pittsburgh where the Steelers play and beats them outright and covers.
Florida, off the big win against Utah last Saturday night, has Kentucky coming to the Swamp. Kentucky, after 50 years never beating Florida, has been really good against them the last three. They're getting 6 in the Swamp.
Continuity with Stoops there has made him better, right? He's been there 10 years now. I think Kentucky's in this game and covers the number. Florida wins.
USC, of course, getting pumped up with Lincoln Riley there now. In the past, they have had a lot of trouble with this early September game they always seem to play against Stanford. Now, Stanford does suck. Low number here, -8.5. USC, the road favorite in Palo Alto.
I love the under. I think that Stanford will have trouble scoring in this game. They're not putting up 30-some points, and I think USC will. I think the Trojans beat them. This is a different USC team entirely with Lincoln Riley around. They got an offense. They got a quarterback. They got experience, and they got – I think they roll.
The best game of the day, one late night 10 p.m. Eastern kickoff. Ovo. Baylor and BYU, Scotty, they played a great game last year in Waco. Baylor beat them. Now they return the favor out west. BYU -3.
I think BYU has an edge playing in Provo for sure, and I think it's worth that 3. I'll lay it. But I think Baylor has better athletes and better speed. I think they'll be in the game. It's going to be hard, but I think BYU slips by them very short around that 3. I think it'll be 4 or 5, 6 max.
Let's get through some of the other games here for tomorrow. South Carolina and Arkansas. Arkansas coming off the win against Cincinnati has Carolina and Spencer Rattler coming to town. Wake Forest, of course, gets their quarterback, Sam Hartman, back against Vandy coming up tomorrow. Ohio getting some heavy lumber up to 27 in Happy Valley against Penn State. They usually hammer the MAC teams at home. Notre Dame goes home after losing at the Shoe. They have Marshall coming in to South Bend. Also, Wisconsin and Washington State up in Madison with the 17.5, Scotty.
All right, let's leave that up there for a second. The bottom line is, I'll save you a lot of time. The only team that I think has a chance, and it's not going to be easy to cover that fat piece, is Washington State in Camp Randall against Wisconsin. I think that certainly a different look for Washington State. They looked really good last week. They got a new quarterback that can really play. He's really fast. He can sling it and run. I love guys that are dual threat. I think they're going to be in the game. Wisconsin always wins, but it's that cover I'm looking for. All the other games there, Arkansas, lay it. Wake, lay it. Penn State, lay it. Notre Dame, lay it. The Irish are going to take out their problems on Marshall.
Let's hope so. I want to see Tyler Buckner actually put a lot of points on the board against them. Also, Scotty, Houston, after a very close win in San Antonio against the Roadrunners, now they take on Texas Tech, who they will join in the Big 12 next year. Also, Iowa and Iowa State. God, both teams, that should be a very ugly game. Arizona State goes to Oklahoma State this week, Scotty. We have Hawaii catching, what is that number? 51.5. At the Big House against Michigan on Saturday night. Another late night game. Oregon State visits Fresno State after beating Boise last week.
All right, leave it up. I'm going to believe that Houston, I do think they're a good football team, good program. Holgorsen, they had a brutal game with UTSA in San Antonio. They got it done. That's all that matters. Now they're playing in Lubbock. Not going to be easy, but I like them with the number. Not only to cover outright and win the game. And then I'm going to take Iowa State to beat Iowa with that number in Kinnick. And then I'm going to go Oklahoma State and Boone Pickens, but not to cover the number against the Sun Devils. That's going to end up being a really good game. Remember, Oklahoma State melted down last week with a huge lead, and Central Michigan covered against them. I think Hawaii with that 52. I don't believe that Harbaugh wants to take it out on Hawaii. I think they win by 50, not 53. And then whatever the last game was, I can't remember. I got early for Alzheimer's.
Beavers,
what was it? It was, I like Oregon State at Beavers. Fresno.
Yes.
I like the Beavers.
I like Oregon State as well. Really, couple of really good late night games. You have that one, the BYU one, and Mississippi State going to Tucson to play Arizona. So Leach out west at around 11 p.m. Eastern, Scotty.
You'll win.
For a kickoff. Late night with Mike Leach putting a lot of points on the board. I like it. Baseball, there's a full slate tonight. The Cubs and the Giants are playing right now. Obviously, it's Friday. We got a lot of football happening. The Mets are in Miami against the Marlins tonight. Scotty Peterson and Cabrera in that one. Are we going with Peterson tonight against Cabrera?
I am. I'm on the Mets here, and I don't believe in the Marlins at all. The only reason they finally stopped losing was Sandy was pitching last night, and they got lucky. And he had not really anything to do with it.
No, Orioles got knocked back down to earth. Rough week against the Blue Jays. Now they have the Sox coming to Camden Yards this weekend. Voth against Bello tonight.
I'm on the O's.
The Yankees open a weekend series with the Rays. All kinds of problems for the Yankees. Frankie Montas goes tonight. Rasmussen is going for the Rays as they play three in the Bronx.
Tampa.
Jeter night, too, there.
Tampa. I don't care if
Washington.
Jeter's there or not.
Washington with Corbin into Philadelphia against the Phillies tonight.
Phils.
Blue Jays have Stripling at Arlington against the Rangers.
I'm on the Jays.
All right. We'll have you rip off the rest of them before you talk to Adam Kaplan when we come back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, that Cubs game is still 2-0 in the bottom of the fifth at Wrigley. Cubs up on the Giants. All right, the remaining games, I'm going to go Twins over the Guardians. I'm going to take Atlanta and Charlie, the Fisherman Morton in Seattle tonight, believe it or not, over Robbie Ray. I'm going to go White Sox at the Astros in Oakland, Dodgers to win at Petco, St. Louis to win in Pittsburgh, Houston over the Angels, Brewers over the Reds, Royals over the Tigers, and the D-backs to win at Coors in the thin air. Adam Kaplan is our NFL insider, and the season kicked off last night at SoFi in Lipstick City, and the Rams got humiliated. We just were talking about it, Adam. If they don't turn the ball over as many times as they did, the Bills, I think they would have put 50 on the Rams. The bottom line is this. Carver High and I were on the Bills to win on the money line and lay in the 2.5, and I honestly thought that the Rams looked terrible last night. Terrible.
They were completely flat. There's no question about it. It was hard to understand. Let's put all the historical data to the side here. If you just looked at how the teams matched up, the one thing, and you and I talked about this on Coast to Coast yesterday, the one advantage that the Bills had clearly was their front seven versus the Rams offensive line. And the Rams offensive line was terrible. You know, people want to blame Matthew Stafford. It had nothing to do with Stafford. He got hit 15 times, Farrell. That's not a team record, but that's embarrassing. He got sacked 7 times. And the thing is, Sean McVay was a tremendous football coach. Did very little to help his offensive line. They really needed to keep two tight ends in all the time just to help him out because he's under siege the whole night. Stafford did what he could to Cooper Kupp earlier in the game. But, you know, we could blame the Rams defense, but what do you want them to do when they turn the ball over, the Rams did? They'd move the ball and then bog down in the red zone. And you can't keep giving it to Josh Allen. Josh Allen, as you said, you're absolutely right. They should have put up 50 based on the way they moved the football, but they did turn it over. It was, look, week one is going to fool you. This is the way it is in the National Football League. Don't make a lot of broad statements, but you see some things that you have to point out. And the one troubling sign, only one, out of this game for the Rams is the state of their offensive line. We talked about the two changes yesterday. Joe Noteboom in at left tackle for Andrew Whitworth, who retired. and they made a move at guard, and the interior of their offensive line was horrendous last night. The interior pressure they gave Stafford was a problem. So you could expect Sean McVay and his coaches with this extra time, and remember they play at Atlanta next week, they should get this thing together. I expect them to come out because we know, look, Sean McVay, Farrell, he's never had a losing record. He's never had a losing record until last night, which is incredible after five seasons. So I expect them to get it together. But here's the one problem, though. They don't have a very talented offensive line to begin with. There's no one they could go to who's a sub. They got to go with these guys, and Sean McVay's got to get the job done here. This is going to be a challenge for them on the offensive line.
Yeah, not next week. That'll be easy work. I have to tell you, though, they because of that line, Adam, they were unable to manipulate the rookies that the Bills were playing in the secondary. That was the key to the game, was taking advantage of guys that couldn't guard Kupp, Robinson, or frankly, Higbee. Bottom line is, he never had time to manipulate those rookies. And that pass rush of the Bills was sickening. And I have to say, the one concern, and I said this earlier to Carver High, was that, and by the way, he slept in his Bills blazer last night and woke up with a stain on his shirt. But I have to say that I think Josh Allen cannot continue to run the ball like he does. He's going to get injured.
You know, it's fun. You know what's interesting? Talking to the Bills about this, this surprised me. They told me that actually most of his runs last year were designed. A lot of quarterback power, quarterback draw. This is what doomed Cam Newton, another big quarterback at 6'6", although he was at 1.250 pounds. He would suffer significant shoulder problems to the point where, if you remember, Taylor Heineke many years ago was their third down quarterback in Carolina because Cam couldn't throw the football downfield. So you're right. It's fair to say that. And look, they don't run the ball very well. They didn't go with James Cook last night as the number two running back. When he got in, he fumbled. They pulled him. Zach Moss did a decent job. He also fumbled. That's an issue for them. It's one thing you have to look at down the line is how much contact he takes on his body. That I would say when you're looking at these so-called bigger quarterbacks, it's the shoulder, and he's a right-handed thrower, so you're worried about that right shoulder over time. But you're right, and the thing we need to add, though, on the Rams here, and this bothered me as we evaluate this thing going forward, the Bills rarely blitzed. They rarely brought more than four pass rushers, Farrell. Your five have to handle their four. That's what happens in the National Football League. They didn't handle it. This is what Sean McVay has to take a look at. Why did this happen? Now, you're right with Atlanta. They don't have a very good pass rush. Gene Pease runs a 34 front, and Atlanta will be hosting next week. But the Rams should come out smoking this game. That's a game where if you're going to get in early in that game, you're certainly going to go with the Rams because they're going to have a little bit of revenge just in terms of coming out and looking much better than they did this last game against the Bills. But give the Bills credit. In fact, the one other note coming out of this game, and I don't know quite what he meant, but Sean McVay said they were using a silent cat, which means it's loud. Well, I know there are a lot of Bills fans there, but if you tell me the Bills fans took that stadium over in SoFi, that's not very good.
It's not good, but I'll tell you who was good was Von Miller. He looked like he was 25 years old last night.
Unbelievable. A former Ram signing an unbelievable deal. I'll tell you what, though. The Bills have to feel very good, and we mentioned it with Tre'Davious White not playing. If they can get four-man pressure and not blitz, it's not going to matter who they're playing. Now, next week, they play at the Titans, and the Bills have already shown that they have a very good front. The Titans have, they feel, talking to them, an improved offensive line. Well, we're going to learn that very, very early against the Rams. That's a matchup I look forward to seeing. Of course, the Titans this week host the Giants, are going to bring in a whole new offense.
That's a Monday night game in Smashville. I have to tell you, right. You know, when I saw that team last night with that pass rush, with that swarming defense, with that confidence, with that offense, with that quarterback, with that Diggs, and that's just the beginning. They have so much more than Diggs. They have it all. I mean, this team's going to win 14 games. They're going to beat everyone they play. You have to play a perfect game to beat them. That's how tough they look to me.
And it's funny. I don't like to make super broad statements. I didn't pick the Bills Bucks to be in the Super Bowl, but I have to tell you, their defense is so dominant. Now, we got to see them continue to do this without Tre'Davious White. That's certainly going to be the challenge there. But, yeah, the only weakness would be those two young corners. They did a good job last night, but they weren't really tested a lot. And the Rams, the other thing before we move on from this game is they got to get somebody else in Cooper Kupp involved. Higbee got 11 targets, but he was a non-factor. They don't have Van Jefferson, I told you yesterday. They're not exactly sure where they're going to have him, though I'm told they expect to have him before the end of the month. They need to get the ball downfield. They just could not protect, and that was embarrassing. When your quarterback gets hit 15 times, you clearly have not done a very good job protecting him.
He cannot continue to take that amount of abuse, or he won't last 6 weeks of this season before he's injured. What are the Ravens going to do now that they've blown the opportunity to get a deal done with Lamar Jackson now in the offseason? He's betting on himself. You know he's going to have a huge year, and he's going to take him to the woodshed even further when these negotiations resume.
You know, it's interesting. I was talking to a contract negotiator about a week ago about this particular deal after the Wilson deal got done. He goes, next year, with the TV money coming in, those extensions for Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert, if they get them done, and those guys will be eligible after 3 years to get a deal done. This guy said, look, I think these will hit $50 million a year or more. So you mentioned Lamar Jackson betting on himself. He's pulling a Kirk Cousins here. Remember, Cousins played out two franchise tags. Now, I'm not saying Jackson will do that, but he has the opportunity to do that. He's on his fifth-year option at just over $23 million. He just has the thing is, the key here is not to get hurt, but the tag will go up. The TV money, the big money hits now in 23. And Joe Burrow and Herbert are going to get paid. If they want to get paid, they're going to get paid. And buckle up. That's going to be amazing. So here's the thing, though, with Jackson and why he set a deadline on Friday. Friday's the last day of practice for the week. You don't want to go into Saturday's walkthrough in the meeting Saturday night and not have a deal done. You do not want your franchise quarterback thinking and worrying about this. So this is behind them now. I don't feel like this is such a major problem for the Ravens. Look, they wanted to get this done. They tried. They tried last year. And again, the big issue here is he does not have an agent. He has people assisting him, including the NFLPA, but it's really not a big deal. They're going to be a good team. They're going to win that NFC North, and they're going to bounce back. As slow as Lamar, who had the illnesses last season. He just was not himself, but everything is good. And in fact, I'm told one source said that he had the best training camp of his career, and really looking forward to seeing how he does the season with the great Mark Andrews and Rashad Bateman, who I believe is going to be a breakout player at wide receiver for the Ravens.
I still think the Bengals can beat them in the North, and they already proved it. Yep. They went to the Super Bowl. Burrow's a real quarterback. I don't deny Jackson's brilliant, and he's really good. I don't argue that with anybody. But I don't believe for 1 minute that this is behind them. You said that it's behind them. It's not behind them. It's in front of them at the end of the season. And I'll tell you what, the media and the fans are going to be talking about it every day on the radio, and the media is going to keep asking about it the whole season. It will become a pain in the neck.
The only way it becomes a problem is if he doesn't play well, let's say. Okay, let's extrapolate this for down the road here. And the media gets on him, hey, man, why didn't you, do you regret not signing? Yeah, sure, that could happen. But Lamar was really in control of this. This is not so much the Ravens having control of it. They try to get a deal done. He didn't seem super eager to get the deal done. And this is similar to Kirk Cousins, who he had an idea in mind and he wasn't going to go over it.
All right, so we'll come back and talk about the Jets' injury problems. Ooh. And we have a whole lot more. We're going to look at all the games and see who Adam likes in some of these festivities on Sunday. It's all day long, baby, Sunday. You got to love it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You can't sneak one past Carver High with that high cheese. The Bills are hosting the Titans on Monday night in Orchard Park next week. And I think Adam just said there's two games that night. The Eagles are playing somebody. Yep. And
Vikings.
And two Monday night games. What could be worse? They're almost at the same time.
Yeah, 45-minute difference, Pharrell. The Eagles will host their home opener. They'll host the Vikings. It's kind of weird. The Bills are hosting the Titans. That's the first game, and they've had some interesting matchups over the years. So that is kind of weird. But look, this is a big injury week in terms of offensive linemen, which are key for Pharrell, particularly for those Jets. Who that number of 5.5 over under total. I liked it in June over. I don't like it anymore. They got too many issues on that football team.
So what is Dwayne Brown, the left tackle? They just got him, and he's injured already?
Yep. It's terrible. He signed a two-year deal. No matter what, he'll make $10 million this season. Well, he injured his shoulder in Monday's practice, and it hasn't gotten better. They're already ruling him out. They haven't ruled out anything, surgery or IR. They haven't ruled out anything. So what they're going to do is once again move George Fant, who was a basketball player in college, who was signed as an undrafted player with the Seahawks some years ago. It's been a great story of development with the Jets. He was going to be the right tackle. He played left tackle last season when Becton got hurt. Well, he's back to left tackle again. Becton's out for the season, we know, with a fractured kneecap. So George Fant now will move from right to left tackle. They're going to move Max Mitchell as a fourth-round pick. He's going to play right tackle. Their depth is absolutely shot. You know, that 5.5 win over under total, when we were together at the draft and Carver and I were talking, we knew the schedule was difficult for the Jets, particularly the first four games. No question about it. This week, they're going to host the Ravens. They're not going to win that game. But right. When you have an offensive line that is below average, it's hard to win the National Football League. I know they had a great draft. We all know that. Maybe the best draft of any NFL team. But they're a young football team that needs to develop. And it starts with the offensive line. When you're not good on the line, it's really, really difficult. And it's going to be hard for the Jets. I give Joe Douglas credit. He's done all that he could to help this football team. But these injuries to the offensive line are devastating. It's going to be really hard. That 5.5 win total right now, I'm not going over that total. I don't like it.
They are going to destroy them with that offensive line. Is literally like Swiss cheese. There's so many holes in it. Deontay Johnson looks like he's ready to go for the Steelers. Not going to be an issue after he had injured his shoulder, right?
Yeah. What's funny was, you know, Mike Tomlin uses that line where we'll let participation be our guide for the game. And Deontay Johnson, for all the times he's been listed on the injury report in his first three seasons, he's only missed three games. He's obviously a very good football player. He signed that two-year extension worth about $36.7 million. And talking to someone, to the Steelers about him, the guy's super competitive. No matter what you could say about it, you know, he's not the biggest guy in the world. He's been a good story of development. There's no question about it. Actually, it's only two games over his first 3 years. But no, he's going to be ready to roll against the Bengals. Now, the one issue for that game is there are going to be four games this weekend that could be impacted by rain. That's one of them. Against the Bengals in Cincy. That game right now, now again, it's only Friday, but if you check hour by hour closer to the game, you want to look at that. But the weather could be a factor in that game in terms of the rain. And by the way, George Pickens, this is his debut in the regular season. They're in love with this guy. He's been an unbelievable story, a former second-round pick. And I'm telling you right now, he did not drop, I'm told by multiple people, due to the ACL injury. He came back, remember, late last season at Georgia to come back from the ACL. It had nothing to do with it. It was a maturity issue. Teams had issues with his maturity, not the Steelers. Everything I'm told, A-OK so far, he's going to be an absolute star for your Steelers, I'm telling you. He and Johnson, Deontay Johnson, are going to play opposite each other for years to come. Pickens is going to be a star.
You know, they have done a great job with receivers over the last couple of decades, like no other. If you go all the way back to Swan and Stallworth, they've been doing it forever, even with tight ends. I love Freiermuth. Claypool needs to do more for me. All right, talk to me about Shaq Leonard and the Colts. It looks like he's
going to go. Physically, he's able to play. He's coming back from back surgery. It's just getting in game condition because, remember, he didn't play in the preseason. He hasn't played since last season. He had off-season back surgery. So they just want his stamina and conditioning to be a little bit better. But this hurts. They're playing the rival Texans in Houston. I know the Texans, people beat them up. They don't think they're very good. The roster's a little better than last year. Sure, the Colts are better. Matt Ryan at quarterback, give him a little bit more stability at that position. But Shaq Leonard, former Darius Leonard, is an absolute superstar. He's their best defensive player. Buckner at D tackle is really, really good. But this guy's a team leader. He's been just an unbelievable story of development. Not the biggest guy in the world, but a sure tackler and a leader. EJ Speed, who's a fifth rounder of 2019, should fill in for him. He's only started one game, which was last season. But the problem with Leonard, Farrell, is not the talent. He's missed a bunch of games. He's not yet played a full season. He's actually missed seven games over his career. But not having his leadership for this game, something to keep an eye on. And and by the way, they're not given an exact timeline for him to play. They just want to see how his conditioning is going forward here.
Romeo Doubs looks like the guy that's going to be playing for Lazard, right, for the Packers on the road.
Yeah, Lazard's not. Yeah, right, exactly. So the Packers are playing at the Vikings. And the story with Lazard is, Alan Lazard, first year as a full-time starter, well, he's going to have to wait because he has not practiced since he got hurt last week. He got his foot stepped on. So Romeo Doubs out of Nevada. Talking to the Packers about him, let's go back to their OTA program. High-character kid, coachable, did everything the right way, moved up the depth chart. He's probably been the best story on offense during training camp of the preseason. And they love this kid. He should see the he should play primarily in place of Lazard here. He's a fourth rounder out of Nevada. Didn't run really well leading up to the draft, but they feel like they've got a steal. And you know how well they develop receivers out there. So, yeah, this is a big deal here. Now, their depth is being tested here. Christian Watson just came back, the former second rounder from a knee injury. He should be able to play in this game. But Aaron Rodgers now, without his guy, Davante Adams, he's going to have to find someone else here. Oh, by the way, Robert Tonyan coming back from the ACL. They're starting tight end. He will play in this game. But I'm very interested to see what Rodgers does in this game here, finding new pass targets to throw to, because now you got to spread it around. With all those pass targets gone, someone else is going to be a star here. Now, they think Lazard could be a breakout player, but Doubs out of Nevada, the fourth rounder, I absolutely love, had a great training camp. As a rookie, he actually could break out. I feel he's going to have a really good season. The one negative with him are the drops. He's got to get the hands a little better, but they love this kid, and he has a chance to do very well as a rookie.
Do you like the Packers to win that game? They're laying 1.5 at U.S. Bank, the home of the Vikings.
I do. I do. This should be a tight game. Kevin O'Connell, his first game as a professional, as their head coach, is going to call the plays. Their offense is going to change. It's no more the Mike Zimmer micromanaging, trying to run the ball all the time. The one issue, though, that you have for the Vikings is their secondary. It's not very good. This is where they really struggled last season. That does worry me. They're going to a 34 front, Pharrell. You'd have to go back to the 80s, Pharrell, since they played a 34 front. So that's going to be a change. You know, they go from a 43. You can't get that done overnight. It does take time. Do like the Packers in this game, which should be a tight one indoors in Minneapolis.
The Titans are laying 5.5, a 425 start with the Giants in Smashville. Who do you like there?
Yeah, I do like the Titans. But watch the Giants pull out all the tricks here. Mike Kafka, the new play caller, the offensive coordinator, come from the Andy Reid coaching tree. Mike put together the passing game concepts for Andy. And then you've got Brian Daboll's influence, the two of them together. Now, the good thing, though, for the Giants here, I know their interior, their offensive line's a disaster, but they've got good receivers. They're all going to be available. Now, they've got a couple defensive players. Two of their three top pass rushers are probably not going to be available in this game. That does worry me. We're running their 34 front under Wink Martindale, who's going to blitz to get after Ryan Tannehill. But the return now of Derrick Henry, talking to the Titans about him, he's absolutely healthy. He's over the broken foot. They're going to ride him in this game. And also the debut of Burks, their first rounder, who's gotten better shape here, and they're expecting to be certainly involved in this game. So, yeah, look, the Titans are the clear better team here. The Giants are going to be better than people think this season. The 6.5 win total, I actually like them to win 7. To go 7-10, but be way better than last season.
Chiefs and Mahomes in Arizona. The Cards have problems. J.J. Watt. It goes on with injuries. Kansas City laying 6.
Yeah, Zach Ertz is going to try to play with his calf strain. They've got all sorts of injuries. Rondale Moore won't play with his hamstring injury. He just got that this week, unfortunately. They're very late at wide receiver. DeAndre Hopkins, their season went down the tubes when he kept getting hurt, and unfortunately, he's got the 6-game suspension to serve now. So that's going to be a problem for the Cardinals. Yeah, I do like the Chiefs, and I'm so looking forward to seeing the new look offense. What I mean is, it's not that they won't throw the ball out. They will, but there's no more Tyreek Hill. Not that it's ever easier to defend or easy to defend, but there's no Tyreek Hill there with the Chiefs. And things are going to have to change here. It may not happen week one, but look for Sky Moore, their second round pick. He's going to be a breakout player later in the season. He's a rookie. You got to give these guys time, but they don't have a go-to guy other than Travis Kelce, so it's going to be wide open there at wide receiver for the Chiefs.
Raiders, Chargers at SoFi, and the Chargers are laying 3 in that nasty hook, 3.5.
Yeah, I do like the Chargers to win this game. I know it's not a home field. This does worry me. Now, you saw what the Chargers did in that last game to get in the playoffs, but the Raider fans, they're going to be there. That does worry me a little bit. But the Chargers clearly have the talent here. The only issue I have with the Chargers is J.C. Jackson, their top corner, is out. He's not going to be available for a bit. So after his ankle surgery, that does worry me. And they debut for the the Raiders here and their new coaching staff. But the problem that the Raiders have is they have a dreadful offensive line. They just don't have a lot of talent. They have one good player, the left tackle. That's not a good thing because the Chargers have got five new starters on defense. Watch Brandon Staley bring it on defense. Their defense will be way better this season.
Tampa's laying 2.5 at Dallas Sunday night at Jerry's World.
Love the Bucs. That if you and I rank the best ones, look, I got last night wrong. I'll admit it. I like the Bucs this time. The Bucs are in a good spot here. The Cowboys, that front seven for the Bucs versus the revamped and injured Cowboys offensive line, that's not a good thing. The Bucs will win this game.
And then your Broncos are opening in Seattle with Russell Wilson on Monday night, and Denver's laying 6.5.
Blowout city. This should be an absolute blowout. Russell Wilson is going to have it. They're going to throw the ball downfield. They're going to be very aggressive. Look for Courtland Sutton, to have a breakout season. You know, he came back from that devastating ACL injury last year. He actually had a multiple ligament injury, I'm told. But he had a great training camp. He's going to have a breakout season, and it's going to be bombs away. The Seahawks are going to start two young corners. They're in trouble in this game. And Geno Smith at quarterback, good luck, Seahawks.
The other big games are the Pats at the Dolphins, Miami laying 3.5, and the Browns, Panthers. It's now a pick 'em in Charlotte.
Yeah, I like the Panthers. The one issue, though, and we know you and I have talked about this, the Panthers have four new offensive linemen versus those great DNs of the Browns. They could keep it even, but here's the problem, and this is why the Panthers will win. Look who's at quarterback. I just don't see it for the Browns. I just don't see it at quarterback until Watson comes back. They're going to struggle with Jacoby Brissett, and the Panthers will find a way to win that game.
They might run the ball down the Panthers' throats. We'll see. Who do you like in the Dolphins game, laying 3.5 in Miami at Hard Rock?
Like the Fins. Until the Patriots could show that they could get a good offense together, I'm going to be going against them. And I like the Dolphins and the Heat in Miami.
You mean that offense that won 10 games last year and went to the playoffs? That terrible offense?
Well, who's calling the plays? Matt Patricia.
I don't care who calls the plays. Mac Jones and that team is better than everyone gives them credit for. It's like they suck. You'd think they won five games the way they're talked about. Adam, great job. Enjoy Sunday's pain day, the first full Sunday of the NFL season. We'll catch up with you again next week. Great job covering all the training camps, going everywhere on the road. Fabulous work by you. We'll see you next week.
See you on Monday, brother. Thanks.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, fast forward Pharrell in your facial. The Pharrell finish. The Knicks and Mavs among teams interested in Bojan Bogdanovic from the Jazz. U.S. Open Women's Final tomorrow will have the favorite, -175 Swiatek against Ons Jabeur from Africa. Should be a great final. The semis are going on right now. Casper Ruud up 2-1 in sets, up 2-1 in the fourth. And later, our boy Alcatraz taking on your boy Francis Tiafoe. Hopefully I got that all right. Premier League suspended this weekend due to the passing of Queen Elizabeth. Long live the king. I watched that church service today, Carver High in London. Quite a spectacle. IHOP brings back Milkshake Mondays. That just sounds good to me, Carver High. Is there an IHOP that we can hit on Strong Island? Ricky Martin files a $20 million suit against his nephew who accused him of sexual abuse. Uh-oh. Shooting rampage in Memphis left four people dead and a 19-year-old in custody. All the youth. I mean, they're just so angry. Former NFL player Kevin Ware allegedly burned his girlfriend's body after he killed her. I thought I talked about this, but it's so good I talked about it again. The guy killed his girlfriend and then put her in an incinerator. I mean, you talk about finishing the deal. Woman claims she was arrested at an airport for being too good looking. At least that's what she thought. Georgia deputy police chief busted in a prostitution sting with $180 on him and a six-pack of White Claw. At least he had some beverages. North Carolina teacher busted for having sex with a student again. And then she was on house arrest, invited the kid over for more. All kinds of trouble for the teacher. bare knuckle fighter Ty Emery's OnlyFans page explodes after she flashed the crowd last week after winning. She just took her top off and said, take a look. And Ty Cobb's false teeth are up for auction for 10 grand. Yeah, I don't want those veneers, Carver High. No thanks. Don't forget tomorrow, 12 to 4 with Cam Stewart on In-Game Live All Access. Sunday at 1 with Morenci. You got to be kidding me. Strap in for those shows. GTV is next. Have a great weekend. Check out my site. What's up?